Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
It's Wendy Snyder in for Bob Surratt again this morning. Bob returns tomorrow. We go live now to Joseph Lindsley, who is live in Ukraine. Joseph, when we last spoke, we were hoping for a quiet weekend, and now we're getting reports that you're under massive Russian shelling that's going on right now.
Well, Wendy, hello from Kyiv. And, you know, it's not funny. It's strange how, you know, yesterday was calm in Kyiv, but Saturday, the Russians did hit the city. And, you know, every day in some ways is kind of a little eternity. So I feel calm today. But it's easy to forget that Saturday, just before 8 o'clock in the morning, Russian missiles hit Kyiv. And this is very unusual because in Kyiv is far enough away from Russia that there's always an air raid alarm before the missiles hit. You know, it's normal in the city of Kharkiv, 3 miles from Russia, missiles always, the attack always begins before the alarm can sound. But that never really happens in Kyiv. It did happen Saturday morning, and we don't really know. I mean, it seems that it was the Iskander missiles, and air defense seemed to work. You know, it still has been, despite that attack on Kyiv, on, you know, just a couple missiles Saturday morning, it has been now 54 days since the Russians have launched a major coordinated nationwide attack on Ukraine. That still has not happened. As the weather begins to get chillier, it's still not that cold. You know, people are wondering, are the Russians stockpiling so they can have a massive attack on Ukrainian infrastructure when it does get very cold? Even if that does happen, you know, everyone is ready. They have generators. Everyone sort of prepared and learned from last winter. And so maybe the Russians realize that you can't freeze out the Ukrainians. They tried it last year. This, you know, we don't really know. And so it is sort of this weird, in many Ukrainian cities, weirdly calm. Although last night, then in the city of Kharkiv, where I spend a lot of time, just again, 30 miles from Russia, Russian missiles hit in the center of the city. It was quite a loud night there. They hit an entertainment facility. It seems that no one was injured. No one was there at the places they hit at that hour, about 9 o'clock last night. And then we also have over the weekend, the Russians targeted a library. They destroyed the main library of the city of Kherson, a city that they used to occupy. And so they destroyed over 1 million books. And you just see this, you know, sort of repeated destruction, not only of life, but also of culture. And by the way, when that attack happened in Kharkiv last night, that was the 3,000th air raid alarm that the people of Kharkiv have heard since February 24th, 2022. 3,000. Just imagine how that gets implanted into your memory. And as we look at these sort of, you know, little, what you could call terroristic attacks by Russia, we also have two interesting points of the Ukrainian counteroffensive. About there are 60 miles east of Kharkiv City, right on the border with Russia. Ukrainian border guards raised the Ukrainian flag in a village that had been occupied. This is, you know, it was in the gray zone where there was intense fighting. And so we see a little bit of progress there. And then we've also begun to see over the weekend videos of Ukrainian soldiers in boats crossing the Dnipro River. And the Dnipro has been a big barrier between, you know, the Russians occupy the left bank down in the Kherson region because of their positions there. They're able to hit places like that library in the center of Kherson City. But we began to see over the weekend footage of Ukrainians in the fog, in the marshes, and in it's a pretty wide area of a lot of water, but crossing onto the left bank. And so there is some indication of progress down there. And then I think the big geopolitical news, which everyone is looking at pretty curiously, is the shakeup in the government of the United Kingdom.
Uh-huh.
David Cameron, former prime minister, it's an unusual move. The Rishi Sunak made him a member of the House of Lords so he could put him in the government. So now he's Baron Cameron. Pretty extraordinary move. That means he really wanted Cameron there. You know, he didn't want someone from the current parliament. He wanted Cameron for some reason. Maybe he needed, you know, in the time with what's happening with Gaza and Israel, he wanted more of a statesman. But we also have to know that in 2014, when Russia first took the Crimean Peninsula from Ukraine. David Cameron was in power. Barack Obama and Joe Biden were in power in Washington. And, you know, those countries were obligated under the Budapest Memorandum to protect Ukraine. This agreement, when Ukraine gave up its nuclear weapons in 1994, they were obligated to protect Ukraine from Russian invasion. That invasion happened in 2014. And under sort of that, you know, era of leadership, from 2014 to 2022, Ukraine agreed to many different ceasefires with Russia. It's interesting, as we hear talk about ceasefire now, people asking, Israel to agree to a ceasefire. Uh-huh. Ukraine agreed for 8 years, often agreed to ceasefires, which the Russians used to build up their stockpile, to build up their army for this to happen. So it's interesting to bring someone from that era back into power. And everyone's a bit curious, wondering what's going to happen with that.
All right. And as you mentioned, President Zelensky is warning Ukrainians to prepare for new waves of Russian attacks. The winter is coming. Ukrainians are not going to be caught off guard. They're ready. What's on tap for today for you, Joseph?
Today is my busiest media day. So I speak on Polish English language television. And I think one of the we really see that the propaganda game is being fought very intensely. And there's a lot of efforts to all, you know, even though Russia has not had many major attacks on Ukraine the past 2 months, and Ukraine has been able to do extraordinary things in the Crimean Peninsula, there's a strange propaganda that now it's up to Ukraine to negotiate. And I'm convinced the Russians have to be behind this. And so this is part of, you know, doing research on this in the coming days. I've been speaking with Ukrainians who are doing a lot of work to examine the sanctions on Russian businesses. And more we're seeing that the Russians are able to get around those sanctions. We see companies like that company Mondelez, based in Chicago, that is still doing business in Russia. Mm. And I spoke with a woman in Munich. She's a Ukrainian, an activist. And I spoke with her yesterday about this, and she said, we feel stuck. She said, you know, the world had all this emotional support, but when you get down to the details, you see that actually the Russians are able to get around a lot of this. And, even as we look, I mean, Putin, it's same with Hamas. You know, it seems that they like war. They like chaos. And so they kind of benefit the longer this goes on. And so I think that there is this sense, while there is calm here, Kyiv is calm right now, we have time to talk with people and to figure out how best to tell the story of why Ukraine should have victory as soon as possible.
Well, you tell the story so well. We appreciate talking to you each and every morning. Bob returns tomorrow, so I will talk to you next time. Joseph, please stay safe.
Wendy, always great to speak with you. And until next time, from Kyiv.
And you can go to UkrainianFreedomNews.com and check out everything Joseph has put together. Amazing man.